Blog Talk Radio.
Detail the podcast on a Wednesday night, September 25th, 2013. I'm Dre, he's Jay. We are here to review NFL week number 3. Jason, bizarro world strikes us once again.
Well, if this one didn't kill us, nothing will. Because, man, your 6-9 was leaps and bounds better than anything I had to say last week. So a little disappointed in myself, but it was definitely a bizarro week. You had passing teams started running the ball. You had, you know, teams that were left for dead all of a sudden decided they wanted to show a little fight. Teams that you expected were going to be like the cream of the crop decided to turn to crap. So everything flipped upside down, and our win percentages went right with it.
The cream of the crap. Did you do that on purpose, or you just come up with that?
The cream of the crap. Is that the way it sounded? I like that though. What? Even if it wasn't.
Well, it came
what
out.
I'm medicated tonight, by the way, and not that kind of. No, actual medicated. I have yet to do a show. You know, half in the bag yet. That'll be week 17 when we're picking against a dime. But I'm getting way ahead of myself now. No, cream of the crap. I like that one. I'm going to have to write that down so I can use it as the title of a blog post here one of these weeks.
No, you're not in Colorado, so no, I'm not talking about doing a show on that kind of drugs. But no, you said cream of the crop, and then you said everything turned to crap, so I thought you were trying to do a cream of the crap there, but maybe that's just how I heard it. I don't know. It was so strange. It was we were kind of debating before the show started what would have been like the touts lock of the week last week. What would have been the game that the experts, the so-called experts, had the most confidence in? And we were thinking, would it have been Seattle with the 19-point spread? I don't know. That's a huge number. I think it probably would have been Minnesota, given the touchdown, giving 6.5 against Cleveland, because, hey, it's the Cleveland Browns. They just quit, right? They traded their top running back. They're starting some guy at quarterback you never heard of. They leapfrogged the number 2 quarterback in Jason Campbell to go to this third stringer. Obviously, Cleveland's tanking and throwing in the towel and trying to get the best draft pick available, right?
Well, we have a history with this, of making fun of a team a little too much. You know, it's like we piled on Cleveland so much that we doomed ourselves on that pick. We should have known. I think you even alluded to it on the podcast last when we made the picks for this week of crap. And we piled on Brian Hoyer, and we piled on Cleveland, and we even changed their team slogan, and wouldn't you know, they went out and won the game. So I'm going to restrain myself this week when we do the week 4 picks from making too much fun of this no-name kid who's going to be starting in Tampa. I have no idea who he is, but since I know he's going to go out and throw for 4 touchdowns, if I make fun of him, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Mike Glennon. I think rhymes with Dannon. I'm not sure. I've heard it pronounced Glennon. I don't know. I'll follow with you. I won't make too much fun of him. I don't know who the hell he is. I have no idea what he's going to do. But, yeah, I won't say that he's going to be complete crap because I don't know. We obviously don't know what these people are capable of when they get put in situations and come out with these big games. It would have been wonderful to go back and try to find, like, all of the times that we've made fun of a guy who's making his first starter you never heard of, and he went and had a huge game, because our getting our in our old age, our my memory I know is such that I can't really remember. But there's been so many. I think the one guy I can pull out definitely would be like the first time Philadelphia threw Kevin Cobb out there, and we're like, who in the hell is Kevin Cobb? Spelled his name Kolb. I don't know who this guy. And you know how many millions of dollars does he have in the bank because he was able to put forth, you know, a great game or two in Philadelphia when nobody had ever heard of him. So it's
Yeah,
weird how that stuff works.
the one that sticks out in my mind was a pick I won, and you'll get where I'm going as soon as I bring this up, in the Matt Flynn game. The game where it was week 17 and the Packers were playing, I believe, the Lions, and the Lions needed to win to get into the playoffs. So the Packers sit Aaron Rodgers, they run Matt Flynn out there, and you're just piling on poor Matt Flynn. He's dead to rights, and he ended up having the best single passing game in Packers history, which is about par for the course for us. I had Green Bay because it just made no sense. So I did one of my usual moves. I just said, well, why not? Well, why can't they have a good day? And they ended up winning that game. It was really high scoring. There had to have been 90, 95 points scored in that game overall. It was fun to watch, but that's the one that sticks out in my mind of us, or one of us, making fun of somebody a little bit past the point where we probably should, and then having to eat our words afterwards. There was one a few years ago where we both did it with a kid from Kansas City who was starting, but they've run so many horrible quarterbacks out there, I can't remember who it was, but all I know is we made fun of him, and he went out and threw like four touchdowns and never did it again. That's the other thing. So we make fun of these guys, and they shove it up our asses, but then they really don't keep it going. It's like we shut up, and then they go back to being what we who we thought they were after the fact.
They are who we thought they were. That Kansas City kid, does Tyler Thigpen, does that name ring a bell? Was it maybe one of those games? I can't
It
remember
may have
either.
been. There were a few of these guys. Yeah, because I think we were calling him Bobby Thigpen.
Oh. Showing our Chicago bias once again.
Yes, well, of course. I mean, we're Chicago guys.
So across the country, Bizarro World Part Two, where while Cleveland's getting it done in Minnesota and shocking the world, the whole purpose of calling Cleveland the big underdog was that they sent Trent Richardson to Indianapolis. So you'd think maybe Indianapolis goes into San Francisco. I didn't think they would show that much fight. I thought San Francisco would come in and play much better than they did. But not only does Indy show fight, they do it not even showcasing their new toy. They don't really run Trent Richardson out there. Ahmad Bradshaw decides to take over and be the whole effing show. If you want to do a Rob Van Dam reference, as I try to get my wrestling digs in there. So Bizarro World just continues that Indianapolis doesn't even rely on Trent Richardson, and yet they go into San Francisco and get a rather convincing W.
Yeah, the 49ers got to be kind of punch drunk right now. I mean, Seattle lays one on them. The Colts go into San Francisco and win. I mean, I had the Colts to cover, but not necessarily win the game. So, I mean, it was an added bonus when they went out there and won the game. But San Francisco has got to be a little staggered here at the moment. I don't know if teams are figuring them out, but Seattle, I know I mentioned it on the blog, but I was listening to the game on the radio, and Seattle seemed to be, you know, playing a little bit more over the middle, trying to take away those quick throws from Kaepernick and making him beat them way out on the perimeter, and he was just unable to do it. So I get home from work, get off the radio, and get onto the TV, and I'm watching the game to see if I can see what he was talking about. And sure enough, yeah, Kaepernick's throws out to the edges were not very good. The middle to short outside throws, we know he can throw a deep ball. But just the ones that were trying to get the chains moving, he was bouncing balls to guys and wildly inaccurate. And the Colts just, they had their number that day, but the two bad losses in a row for San Francisco. Feel patting myself on the back here a little bit because I did have them having a Super Bowl hangover and staying out of the playoffs. So I'm interested to see if this continues. But we'll find out about that at the end of the show.
He can't get the ball down. He doesn't have anyone to get the ball downfield to. Yeah, he's got the arm, but who are his feet threats? Kenny Williams' kid? We know he can't play. Somebody McDonald, he's got no one to throw to right now. Michael Crabtree was maybe the best deep threat they had. He's not even on the field. And even when he is, he's not, you know, he's not a game breaker. He's not a Julio Jones or Dez Bryant or somebody like that. And Anquan Boldin, boy, that first game with all the catches, 13 catches or whatever it was, you thought he was going to do that all year maybe, but they called that in quick on him. They put the book out on him. And, okay, we got to punch him. We got to bust him in the fucking mouth. We got to play, you know, close to the vest, bracket cover him, do whatever you got to do, stay tight with him, and just shut him down because he can't really break away and go downfield on you and make you pay for pressing up against him. So once you shut him down, and then Vernon Davis wasn't playing either, one of the best tight ends in the game, after that, there's really nowhere for Kaepernick to go with the football. And it was pretty obvious after a while that the passing game wasn't going to be a factor for San Francisco in that one.
Yeah, it's almost like Green Bay in that first game kind of took one for the rest of the league. I mean, letting Boldin just go off on them. And then these other teams are game planning going, we are not going to let that guy beat us, and we're going to make you beat us other ways. And just taking Boldin away has just neutered that offense completely. And Kaepernick, I don't know if he just doesn't have the running lanes or if he just is a little more leery of running, you know, not trying to get hit too hard, legally or illegally, as we saw in that first game they played. Didn't matter where he was. They were just taking the shot. And, I don't know if there's a blueprint out on them, but I am really, really interested. Don't want to talk too much about San Francisco because I know we got a game involving them tomorrow night. But props to Indy. They did a good job, and they deserve to be where they are. They look pretty good.
That's funny. This shows how little show prep we have. We have no show prep. I have two more items on San Francisco that I wanted to get to, even though said we don't want to talk about them too much.
well, shit, we didn't prep for the show. Go for it.
They're both on the other side.
It anyway?
That's right. who's sponsoring the show? Price, I can't sign it. The hell with it. It's on the other side of the ball that I wanted to talk about the Niners, a couple of defensive situations. Do you have any thoughts about Alden Smith playing that game after what happened to him earlier in the week? Because if you don't, I have a few.
I didn't really care one way or the other. I mean, I know that's probably – wow, that the indifference angle that you weren't expecting that one. when I first found out, it didn't bother me. It bothered me a little bit more when the guy's got to, like, get checked into rehab and he's going to miss a month. He's obviously got a serious or more serious problem than just one instance. I mean, guys go out and do much worse stuff than get a DUI and end up out on the field the next day. So obviously he's got a little bit more serious problem. So if that was known that he had that severe of a problem, or there was more to the situation than I've read up on or I know about, then in retrospect, but you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So yeah, I'm a little more a problem with it now, but I didn't have a problem with it at the time. So they kind of cancel each other out. So I don't really give a shit.
Well, I had a problem with it when I first heard that he was going to play, period. I couldn't believe they were going to let him back on the field in a couple of days after he crashes his car trying to drive to practice at 7 in the morning because he was so drunk from partying the night before that it's 7 in the morning and he's still drunk and had marijuana in the car, which I actually don't think that's too big of a deal, but it's the drunk driving aspect that I was quite surprised to hear that he was going to play. And then to come out after the game, okay, he played a nice game. We had a big game. We had an important game. He played pretty well. We still lost. You know what? Now he has a problem and he needs to address it in rehab. Now, after he plays the all-important football game, that really pissed me off. Seriously, how important could the game have been that you had to let him play in that game before you decided that he needs to go into rehab? And
well, I mean, would that have pissed you off if it was a playoff game or the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the whole scenario of let's make sure he plays this all-important game for us and then address his issues immediately after it's over. Yeah, it would have pissed me off if it was the playoffs too. And it might have been a whole another round of pissing me off, because if they had another playoff, they won that game and had another playoff game the next week, he might not have went into rehab then. He might have kept playing until they got eliminated, and then we'll discuss your drinking problem and that you need rehab. We'll address that, you know, after the important games are finished with.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he shows up all liquored up and then he goes out and has a great day and they win the game, I'm sending the guy out on the town before every game.
Is that becoming a new team motto, that we get liquored up and beat your ass? The whole team would go get drunk and then play the games next week?
Yeah, and see, if he was playing on the Broncos, then he'd just be that idiot liquored up defensive end.
He would go well with Mike Vanderjagt if he were still in the NFL.
Yes, I'm glad you still get my references.
I'm getting old, but I'm still getting them for now. So you're not nearly as rancored by that as I am. I think rancor is a different word, but yeah, that kind of ticked me off. And then the other thing was not nearly as serious, but listening to ESPN, I heard you and my favorite running back, Jerome the Bus Bettis, who I'm sure is still proprietor of www.thebus36.com, which is the website that he had emblazoned on his shirt during a Monday night interview like a decade ago, that was so hilarious in its audacity that we still remember it.
You know,
I've never gone to the
years
website.
Ago, 10 years ago, that stood out. Today, nobody would notice. Seriously, if he did that today, And he was sitting in his study and he had little school bus toys behind him. I still can see this. And he's wearing a T-shirt that's got the name of his own website on it. Today, nobody would care. 10 years ago, you didn't see stuff like that. So maybe we made fun of Jerome Bettis. He was really a pioneer of self-promotion.
In a way, I guess he was. But today it would actually be, he'd have to have his Twitter handle. It wouldn't even be the website. It would just be at the bus or something, you know, equally
at the
stupid.
Bus 36. You know what, though? If you go quick and do an at the bus 36, and you're going to probably send it right to Jerome Bettis.
Probably. Anyway, Mr. Bettis was asked about the San Fran defense and why they struggle, and he brought up an interesting point that you might not have much of an opinion about this either, but he recognized that most teams would kill to have that one defensive back that's a killer, that puts people to sleep. And San Fran had two. They still have Dante Whitner back there, but they no longer have Deshaun Goldson, who moved down to Tampa Bay. So maybe that's an issue that they need to work on as well, is that they're down one safety that puts fear in the hearts of people and makes them not want to go in the middle or go, you know, downfield. And maybe that's a bigger problem for San Francisco than they would have anticipated.
Yeah, look at it was the same thing with Baltimore and Bernie Pollard, and now he's gone. And, I mean, he straight up just put a guy literally to sleep on the field so bad he fumbled the ball and was still upright last year.
Yeah.
And just folds this guy up in half, and the guy is still, like thinks he's awake, but he's not, like, sleepwalking. He got hit so hard, but the ball's rolling on the turf going the other way. I could agree with that point, that you do want to have a defense that strikes a little bit more fear. Seattle does it up front, and they do it on the back end. They don't really have that middle presence, or at least not anybody who I can think of right away. It's just like, well, you know, you got to watch out with those guys. They just lock you down and they get after the quarterback. I do think that's the best defense in the league, but I don't think they're the most intimidating. I just think they're the most technically sound defense, if that makes sense. They go out there, they're not overly flashy, they get the job done. But San Francisco's in danger of letting that division get out of hand here very quickly.
They're in real trouble.
They are. And I had them out of the playoffs. And I really want them not to make the playoffs now, so I can be right on something. After this last week, I need to be right on something. Although I was right about Indy covering the 10. That's the one I did manage to win. Go me.
It's us being right. That's the most important thing, no matter what. It always comes back to us being right. And then the other most surprising result from Bizarro World would have to be your New York Giants, your team that your Super Bowl champions, going down to Charlotte and getting absolutely destroyed by the Carolina Panthers. What in the world happened in that game that could possibly make any sense?
They got housed. That is 38-0. I didn't even know that was possible. For teams to go out and look that inept with the rules set up the way they are. And it's not like Carolina's not putting any fear into anybody. That's not a great team. That's not even a really good team. And the Giants they played right into my expectations, and now they have managed to drop way below even my expectations, which is pretty low. That's just a mess. That's a mess. Tampa's a mess. There's just some teams that are just nothing but garbage. It's just serious, hot mess. Just what is going on? We thought we knew what was going on. We thought we knew what was going on in Cleveland, for sure. They showed a pulse. It is really interesting. But the Giants are just sort of the epitome of everything going wrong. Nothing going right. No running game. Can't protect your quarterback. Your defense is Swiss cheese. That's one of the worst teams in football right now.
In the recap, I could only bring up the Q word because I couldn't really think of any other explanation for going out and putting up a zero like that. Like you said, with the rules changes. Just throw it up in the air and get a pass interference. You got Victor Cruz, you got Akeem Nick. Just do something. But I don't know. I can't really explain it any other way. They just look like they had no spirit after they had this one drive in the first quarter where they missed a chip shot field goal. It just seemed like it took everything out of them. And I can understand, I guess, Eli Manning losing heart and not having any spirit after you just keep dropping back and keep getting sacked and keep getting sacked. It's like, come on, somebody do something up front for me. Just block somebody. So, but it still is very, very shocking to see that result. And I don't really have any other explanation except maybe that dreaded Q word already.
Well, they always talk about this demeanor that Eli Manning has, where he never gets up too high and he never gets down too low. That would have been the moment somewhere in that game where he just kind of loses his shit and just lights up some of those teammates of his. And because you need sometimes you need that, whoa, you need that little wake up.
You pulled Tom Brady?
Tom Brady was not doing it in a constructive way. It wasn't they were clearly going to win that game, and he just looked whiny. He didn't look fired up. He looked whiny, and I think there's a difference. Eli,
he was fired up all right. His face was on fire.
Well, he wasn't fired up. He was lit up because every time he dropped back, he was just getting smoked. And they don't have a lot of time to get this thing turned around. When your efforts are that poor, you know things can get out of hand really quickly, and you start piling up the losses. And you look at New Orleans last year; it starts off so awful. No matter how good they did in the second half, they could never get that thing completely turned around. No matter how hard they tried, you get so far behind it. And there's a lot of teams out there in that 0-3, 1-2 area that are going to really be playing some must-win games here in their next week or two, depending on how the bye weeks all end up turning out here.
It's crazy to, you know, October hasn't even come yet, and some teams are already looking at the brink of elimination, so to speak. That if you can't get out of September with one win, you can pretty much call it a day. I'm sure there's so many percentages out there about you start 0-2, you have this much percent chance to make the playoffs. 0-3, you have this much percent chance. So I feel pretty confident in saying that I doubt if anyone has ever made the playoffs at 0-4. And there's a couple of games on the schedule where some teams are going to be playing each other at 0-3, and the loser will be 0-4. The winner won't feel all that much better at 1-3, but
yeah,
you know, there's already some showdown games coming.
And not just the 0-3s, the 1-2s. You've got some really good teams that are just sitting there at 1-2, and the three in the NFC, San Francisco, Green Bay, and Atlanta. Green Bay has the bye, but those three teams, you end up going down to 1-3. An inferior team could squeak by on an easier schedule now and make the playoffs because of your horrible start. That's the thing that these teams have to watch out for, is you don't get a lot of time. You only play 16 games. You don't get a lot of time to get this thing right. And, a lot of our preseason, you know, teams that we liked, really letting things unravel here, and they got to get it right.
Yeah, and inferior teams sneaking in happens all the time. You know what it winds up happening? It sets up some really, really shitty playoff games. Like that one year I was up at your house for your 30th birthday, and we watched, I believe it was Tampa Bay and Washington. And that was just the most god-awful game. So, yeah, we're definitely need to hope for these 1-2 teams to turn it around and make the playoffs exciting, or else we're going to be stuck with some really, really bad playoff games that wild card weekend, and nobody wants that.
Yeah, that first wild card game on Saturday, they always save the worst game for that afternoon Saturday game. And, it's usually just the biggest piece of crap. Where there are two teams that didn't make the playoffs that would have a more compelling matchup than the ones that did. But they all play 16 games, and everything's got to fall where it may. And this is what we end up getting. But these teams all getting off to these horrible starts is not going to help them at all in the long run.
We talked a lot about the Niners getting off to that 1-2 start and all the problems that they had. And they get to go into St. Louis on a short week after all those situations down in San Francisco. Vernon Davis not playing. It looks like he's going to go tomorrow night. Alden Smith obviously is not going to go. He's got these very pressing, important issues that he has to deal with, of course, after he played that game on Sunday. St. Louis coming off of that shellacking against Dallas. Something's got to give. One of these two teams that play like complete shit on Sunday will have to bounce back and find it in themselves to get a W on Thursday. And San Fran goes in as a 3-point road favorite at St. Louis. Jason, what's your pick?
I've got San Francisco here. The more we piled on them earlier in the show, the more I realized I have to take the 49ers now, because if I piled on San Francisco, or, you know, we got down on them too much and then we took the Rams, we'd be dooming ourselves. So I'm going with San Francisco here just purely to bounce back against a weaker opponent. I know the Rams beat them twice last year, or won one and tied the other, but basically that's like beating them twice. So I know the Rams play them tough. I think 49ers are going to be playing as the more desperate team. So I think they're going to go out, try to get up big, and then coast at the end. I'm going to take the 49ers here 38-19.
Wow. That would be impressive for Kaepernick to bounce back and put up that kind of points. I'm going completely the other way. I do not have a whole lot of confidence in this pick. I actually have more confidence in the under than the actual pick. I don't think either one of these teams are capable of doing much offensively the way they're going right now. I'm going to go and take the Rams for all the reasons that you said, to avoid them, that to talk up the Niners' problems and then go against them would just be inviting another bizarro world situation. I'm going to treat this game like an individual result. It's its own game. It has nothing to do with bizarro world. That was week three. Week three is over. I'm going to start trying to look at the things the way that they are, and the way things are, is simple. The Rams are healthier. They're not better than the 49ers, but they're a lot healthier, and they're at home. It's on a Thursday night. It's on a short week at home. We know about the situation last year with all the home teams. The home teams are just a spread, for those of you who don't know, on Thursday night. At least last season was a pretty marked situation. It was swung in the home team's favor greatly. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams to spring the upset on the 49ers and get a hard-fought road victory with two struggling offenses. I'll take the Rams to pull it out 16-13. So that's going to do it for us this evening. We are coming back again Friday. Is that right, Jason?
Friday night.
Another Friday night for the rest of week four. Friday night, 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock down in Miami, and 9 o'clock out in Hollywood. I believe I have those time zones right. Hey, the fact that I got through the show without some major screw-up like the music playing too long, I'm just happy for that. I beat Jason this week. I didn't completely screw up the podcast. I guess I'm on a roll. What can I say? We are out of here. We will see you people Friday night, 10 o'clock Central Time, for the rest of week four. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at IMLDDre. Jason's at IMLDJTG. The recap of last week and the picks for next week will be up at our blog, inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. You can email the show, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com, and you can subscribe to this show on iTunes. Just search for In Much Less Detail and look for the grimacing mug of Scott Norwood. He's Jay, I'm Dre. We are out of here. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys Friday night.